Blog Talk Radio.
Discusses again marriage,
And so, you know, the Most High has been dealing us with about immoral relationships and, you know, having illegitimate children. And we want to be faithful, you know, to this word. Now, there's some things we're going to read this evening that I know some of us still wish we were going to be up under this law. But I know for sure that this changed in the New Testament. And so what we're going to read starting off on this evening, we have to go into the new so that we have understanding that Messiah changed these things. So without further ado, I pray that, you know, all of you are doing well. I pray that you are learning something in this review of the covenant. I, you know, for one, I am convicted and just happy that the Most High, you know, has us doing this, because it, you know, is bringing back a lot of the things. And, you know, sometimes you can read something and have it and then don't read it for so long that certain aspects of it, or the way you thought you might have understood it, or you understand it today, you go back and realize, hey, it's not exactly what he said. So make sure that I have clarity in my understanding. And, you know, some scriptures, sometimes you read something, you know it's in there, but you forgot where it was at. Yeah, that type of stuff. So we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith on this evening and pray in. And then we're going to get into this, and we're going to keep it moving. While we were, you know, where I've been at today, where I did go and get some rest, but then I came back down and talked to a couple of my Hebrew brothers and sisters, and, you know, just had to tell them. You know, they think that I'd be coming with doom and gloom, but I'm like, you know, we're sick as a people. You know, we got issues. And then at the same time, you know, I'm listening to everybody talk and you're struggling with your walk. But, you know, let me just give you a different set of eyes, a different filter to look at this through. And it's, you know, from the standpoint of we are the children of the Most High. And I, for one, I am convinced, you know, it's enough to keep me, that if I'm a child of the Most High, then, you know, I'm not going to be out here doing willfully sinning and doing these things. I'm not going to let anything allow me to take me out of this kingdom, to take me off this path. If I'm not in the kingdom, then it's the Most High's choice. I'm not going to let anything take me off this path. I am convinced. And, you know, I'm not going to do anything to willfully offend him. I said, you know, that should be enough. It's enough for me. I think it should be enough for anybody, because it speaks to our the way that we think about the Most High and where we put him at, you know, in our life, what importance he has to us. And so, you know, that's enough to keep me. And you know, I pray that it's enough to keep everyone, because it's, you know, I don't even know how to say it any clearer than that. This is how you esteem him. This is how, you know, how precious is that gift to you. So when I hear people talk, you know, they don't want to hear it. They get quiet. But they ain't amen, ain't amen in it either. And I was like, okay, I'm not looking for an amen. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to help you in your walk. And I said, I can't tell you anything else, because the Most High, this is what he's given me to tell you. So you don't have to amen it, but I pray that you take heed and do it. So let us go ahead and be able to ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us do our statement of faith. And let us go ahead and get into this closing of the Shabbat. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise. Lift up your voice to him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you appreciate him. Tell him how much you desire to be in his presence, that you look for the day that you can sit at his feet, that you can be in his temple. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. We just look to you, oh Father. We thank you, Father, for first loving us. Father, we just love you and glorify you and lift you up. We magnify thee. We extol thee. We glorify thee from everlasting to everlasting. You are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And there is no other, Father. And we recognize that from this night, that there is no other Elohim besides you. And it's only you that we will worship, the true and living Elohim, the true and living Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. You are my Elohim. You are my Redeemer. You are my Savior. You are my everything. Hallelujah. And to another will I not look, O Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. All glory to you, Father. Blessing be your name. Blessed be you, O Yah. Hallelujah. Creator of the universe. We honor you on tonight, Father. Hallelujah. And we glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We glorify you and lift you up. We magnify you. We will proclaim you to the nations. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Holy hands raised to him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us go to Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Because this is one of those hot button topics, you know, amongst our people. And it's one of these, you know, we say a lot of things, and, you know, a lot of things we think that the Most High was more restrictive in Torah than he was in the New Testament. But the truth of the matter is, when we read these verses, we're going to find out that the Most High permitted a woman to remarry. If her husband said she wasn't pleasing, she was allowed to go out and remarry. That was changed by Messiah. Messiah said it was never intended to be. And so he gave new guidance on it. And we have different guidance on this under the new covenant. But let's read what it is now. Let's read what it is under the old covenant. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 24, starting in verse 1. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanliness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Now, in this verse, the Most High said, I'm giving you permission to get divorced and to remarry. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and questioned Messiah about this very bill of divorcement, Messiah says it was never meant to be so. But Moses was allowed to give this bill of divorcement because of the hardness of the men's hearts. And what were they doing? They were coming up with any reason to divorce this woman. And in this case, she was free to go out and remarry. Read verse 2 again. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, the next husband hate her because she wanted to be another man's wife, and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. Now this is her second marriage. Or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, the first husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is an abomination before Yah, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which I thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. So the Most High told Moses, tell the people, if a man take a wife and he hates her, he finds some uncleanliness in her, he don't even give a specific reason. I'm just not happy with her. Said he could give her a bill of divorcement. And you might wonder, well, the Most High is the one that created marriage. Why would he allow this? So let's go into the New Testament. And we want to get Messiah's words on these. Give me a hot second because I got the wrong verses up. I believe it's Mark chapter 10. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 1. Under the law, you are permitted to remarry if your husband puts you away. Now, if he didn't have a good reason to put you away, he might have did what that man did and come and say, oh, she wasn't a virgin. Or I caught her cheating. Because the Most High said if he took another wife, if he took a second wife, then he couldn't stop his duties to the first wife. None of his duties. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And he arose from there, and cometh into the coast of Judea. This is Messiah. By the farther side of the Jordan. And the people resorted unto him again. As he was wont, he taught them again. As he wanted to, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. Now they know what the law said. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. From the beginning of the creation, Elohim made male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore Elohim has joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples ask him again the same matter. Because his disciples are like, what? What are you talking about? And he says unto him, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she commits adultery. Now, this is what Messiah's, this was his words, the Most High. He said it was not meant to be so. Let's find another version of this story. Hold on. Let me get it out of another book. Go to Matthew chapter 5, the book of Matthew chapter 5. And let me see. Probably going to be in verse 20 or 30 something. Let's start in verse 27. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 27. You have heard that it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of your members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever should put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, she cheated, she had sex outside the marriage, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said of them of old time that thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto Yah thine oath. Okay, so we'll stop there. Messiah said, these are his words, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving except for the cause of fornication. Causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commit adultery. Now this is change. This is Messiah. This is a change, and this is in the new covenant. Up under the old covenant, the Most High permitted you to divorce and get what? Remarried. But a change to that covenant, Messiah said it was never intended to be so. Let's look at another one of the Gospels. I think there's another rendition of this. One second, let me find this. Go to Matthew chapter 19. The book of Matthew chapter 19. Same story, but it goes into more detail here. And we're going to start in verse, let's start in verse 1. Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass that when Yeshua had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him. And he healed them there. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? To see every cause or any cause. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Therefore they are no more two but one flesh. What therefore Elohim has joined together, let no man put asunder. The same thing he has said previously. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Now this is the second time they're asking him this question. And he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. Most High never intended for them to be putting these women away. And so he didn't want the woman to be up in there any stress either. Because of the hardness of the men's heart, so in the beginning he allowed her to remarry. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. She went outside the marriage, and shall marry another, commits adultery. So whatever man puts away his wife, except she went outside the marriage, and shall marry another, commits adultery. That man, if he puts his wife away for any reason other than she went outside the marriage, Messiah said, he commits adultery. And whosoever marries her which is put away does commit adultery. Now, she may not have had any say in this matter, or she might have had a say, I don't want to be married to you anymore. But the truth of the matter is Messiah changed this, and he says it was never meant to be. But because of the hardness of their hearts, and a lot of them were killing these women, not just writing her a bill of divorce, his disciples say unto him, if the case of a man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Now, his disciples are saying, hey, if I can only put her away, if she cheats on me, she goes outside the marriage, it is not good to marry. Because his disciples were believing, hey, I can put her away for any reason that she's just not pleasing to me. So hear the conversation. Hear what's not being said. Messiah said, if you put her away for any reason other than she went outside the marriage, you're not happy with her, she don't clean the house, she don't cook good, she don't submit herself to you as the law calls for. Messiah said there's only one reason, there's only one exception. She goes outside the marriage. To put her away for any other reason than that, you, man, are an adulterer. And you cause her to be an adulterer. And whosoever marries her becomes an adulterer. But also, whoso marries you becomes an adulterer, because you're an adulterer if you put away your wife for any reason other than she cheated. So his disciples said unto him, if that's the case, of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, say they to whom it is given. Now he's not talking about being married or divorced. He's talking about not being married, period. Because, you know, most men, there are very few men that you know, not going to try to scratch that itch. And it's better to be married and scratch that itch than to be single and scratch that itch. He said, not all men can receive what you just said. Messiah saying, yeah, it's probably better not to marry. But not all men can receive that. For there are some eunuchs, he's talking about eunuchs now, which were so born from their mother's womb, didn't desire a woman. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, like the king's eunuchs that he put over his harem. Oh no, let me go ahead and cut your stones off. Make sure you ain't got no desire, because I don't want you around here. I need to be able to trust you around my wives. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. So there are some men that say, you know what? I'd rather serve the Most High. I don't desire to be with a woman like that. Besides that, not every man can receive this, not to get married. So if you are a man who desires physical contact like that, sexual relationships, then he said, it's better that you marry. He actually says another way, it's better to marry than to burn. Because if you fornicate, you having sex outside of marriage, you're going to burn. But back to the topic at hand. Messiah said it was never meant to be this way. So he's saying, I'm correcting the record. Moses gave divorcement and was allowed to give divorcement, and the woman was allowed to remarry because of the hardness of your hearts. But it was never meant to be that way. And so it's changed up under the new covenant. Because up under the new covenant, let's go to I think it's in Corinthians chapter 7. Give me a hot second here. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, but let me make sure. Yeah, let's just read in here so we get understanding in this matter. Let's go start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Messiah had already told his disciples that, hey, every man can't hear this, and every woman can't hear this, because it's better that if it's good for a man not to marry, then it would be good for a woman not to marry if they're going to concentrate on the Most High. If they're going to spend their life concentrating on their service to the Most High. He says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, to avoid having sex in an improper relationship, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. That means have sexual relationships with her when she wants, when she needs. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. Don't be trying to hold it back because you got the power to, I don't want to. Because then you might cause him or her to go looking elsewhere. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And the likewise also has the husband not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud you not one another, except it be with consent. When he says defraud you not one another, that means don't hold back. Don't be like, I'm mad and I'm not giving you none. We're not doing that. He says, your body ain't yours when you marry. It belongs to the other person. And if they want the use of your body for that purpose, then it's theirs to have, and vice versa. Defraud you not one another. So don't hold back from one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and to prayer. This also means that, you know, anything that's going to bring you before the presence of the Most High, before you're going to do anything that's holy. And come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or your inconsistency. You've been holding back. And, you know, there are men and women with high sex drives. And the Most High knows this, and there's nothing wrong with that, except for if that's all you live for. And if that will cause you to even, you can't even withhold for a time for the purpose of the Most High. Then he says, yeah, there's a problem there. If I say don't come at your wife, don't come in my presence in this condition, then you got to know that, hey, we can't do this. We can't do this tonight because we're unclean. We can't do this, you know, the start of the Sabbath because we're unclean the whole Sabbath. So we have to, you know, he says one day out of the week. That's why every day can't be the Sabbath. But anyway, I digress. So don't keep yourselves from each other. Your body is not yours. It belongs to him. His belongs to you. And you're not to defraud one another. Okay? But I speak this by permission and not by commandment. For I would that all men were even as myself. But every man has his proper gift of Elohim, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I do. But if they cannot contain, and he's talking about not contain their sexual desire, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the unmarried I command. Yet not I, but Yah. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Now, this is the commandment of Yah. He let Moses give divorce, but now the Most High is going to change this up under the new covenant. And unto the married I command, but yet not I, but Yah. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried. Now, before she could get a divorce. She could be given a letter of divorcement and she was allowed to remarry. Let her remain unmarried. And now Paul is saying, this is not my commandment. He said, up above, when I was talking, I was talking. He said, but now this is from the Most High. This is a commandment from the Most High. So this is the way he always intended. And he's calling us back to a higher order in the New Testament. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not Yah. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Now, this is not a commandment from the Most High. Paul is saying, he's saying this by permission. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. They're holy for the one that is sanctified, the one who's living the righteous life. But if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. So you got a husband that don't believe, or you got a wife that don't believe, and they don't want to dwell with you, and they leave. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But Elohim has called us to peace. But who's speaking here? This is Paul speaking. All right? And he said, I'm saying this by permission. Because he says, in verse 12, but to the rest speak I, and not Yah. Okay? For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as Elohim has distributed to every man, as Yah has called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all the churches. So the Most High has said, what did the Most High say concerning this? And unto the married, verse 10 again. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but Yah. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. Why? Because Messiah said, if a husband put away his wife for any reason other than fornication, then he is an adulterer and he makes her an adulterer. So the Most High never intended, once a man and a woman got married, that they would get divorced. And if he mistreats you, if he beats you and you decide to leave, get from under that, he says, then you're not free to remarry. You're to remain unmarried. You're to remain alone. And to be reconciled to her husband. This was the intent from the very beginning. So this is changed up under the New Testament. I know some of us wish we could go back to the law in this case, but this is the New Covenant. And this was the intent of the Most High from the very beginning. It says, because of the hardness of the men's hearts. You know, ain't no telling, like I said, in a lot of cases they were killing the women. So what if they weren't killing them? What if they're coming home and beating them, you know, beating them every night for whatever reason that they can come up with? Because it said for what, for any cause, for every cause, you find some uncleanness. What does that mean? I mean, there's some scriptures in here that I'll bring them up another time. But, you know, the scriptures are very, you know, they're very candid. And so you will be surprised as some of the reasons that some of these men were putting away their wives. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Let's start over, and I'm just going to read. 24 and 1. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it's come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanliness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it unto her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, the second husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her hand and send her out of the house. And if her latter husband, the first husband, die, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife. So he gives her a bill of divorcement, or he died. She's free to remarry. She can't go back to the first husband. Her former husband, the first one, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. That after that she is defiled, for that is an abomination before Yah, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he has taken. Now, why does she need cheering up? For one, surely she wanted to be married, but maybe she didn't. Maybe it's one of those marriages where they were forced to get married. Maybe, you know, he accused her of not being a virgin and she no longer want to be with him. Whatever the case. Or she just had to leave home. And maybe she's depressed because of that. I'm leaving my home. I'm moving into this home. You know, for whatever the reason, he was supposed to have a year to cheer her up, to make her happy, to help her to adjust. No man shall take, now I don't know what this is, and I don't know what the rationale behind this next verse is, and I can't tell you that I do, because we don't really operate from this, and, you know, the closest I could get to it in rationale is a millstone is something that you would use to grind and, you know, to make your the meal to eat from, whether it was corn or whatever, part of your livelihood as a family. No man shall take the nether or the upper, the lower or the upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life to pledge. And I'm thinking that because that millstone was used to grind up, you know, the food and stuff that a family would use, that you wouldn't take that from them. You wouldn't pledge that, because then they'd have no way to grind corn and that kind of stuff. That's the only rationale that I can come up with. Other than that, you know, and that's just, you know, in contemplating that verse. Can't say the Most High said that that's the reason, but, you know, that's the only rationale that I can come up with. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren, of the children of Israel, and makes merchandise of him, and sells him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. So we're not allowed to capture our own brothers and sisters and sell them. Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I command them, so shall you observe to do. You know, this is about even in the plague, when they're saying, hey, wear your mask, practice, you know, social distancing. This is really what's going on here. Somebody got leprosy, it's highly contagious, and you want to go around the unclean, and you want to, you know, be touching what they touch and get yourself sick. Now you're unclean, and you got this disease that eats away your flesh. Moses said, be careful to observe all the statutes, the laws, the commandments, that the ordinances concerning this leprosy. It would be the same thing with any disease. Okay. Remember what Yahda Elohim did unto Miriam, by the way, after that you were come forth out of Egypt. Gave her leprosy. That's why I said she had to be the one doing most of the big time talk. She had to be the instigator, because the Most High didn't put this on Aaron. When thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. So you loan me some money. I haven't paid you back yet, but you're going to come into my house and take whatever you think is worth what I owe you. Most High says, don't do it. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. Let him bring it to you out of his house. And if a man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. And if a man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. Now, this next verse is going to explain this. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment. So this is if this man has pledged his garment to you, and he don't have nothing to sleep in. It says he shall bring the pledge again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own raiment. So he pledged his shirt to you, and he hasn't come back to pay you, then you're to return his shirt to him, because in those days that's what they had to sleep in and to keep warm. And it shall be the righteousness unto thee before Yah, thy Elohim. So the Most High will repay you. He'll make sure that you get it back. Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in the land within thy gates. Because, you know, some people hire you, and then after they hire you, then they want to be slow about paying you. You did the work, and they want to be slow about paying you. Then they want to try to haggle with you. Well, you know, I don't think you did the work up to standards. Whatever you agreed with them for, that's what you need to pay them. It's just like when Messiah, the example that Messiah gave of the men coming into the service of the kingdom. Don't matter what age you are when you come to the Messiah, when you come to the kingdom, he says, if you come to do kingdom business, your pay is the same. You're going to get the same promise. If I promise you a penny, if you came in at the 12th hour, or if you came in at the first hour, you worked all day long, 12 hours for a penny. I hired this man at the 12th hour. He gets the same penny. You agreed to work all day long for the penny. So why are you upset? Because you worked all day long and he got the same pay? Messiah is saying whatever that you hire for, even if you're the one doing the hiring, pay what you hired for and don't keep it. Don't oppress them. For he is poor and set his heart upon it. He came and worked, and he needs that money. And you don't want to pay him? Least he cry against thee unto Yah, and it be sin unto thee. The father shall not put to death, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So he's not doing away with putting to death. He's saying, hey, just like with the children today, and the people being born out of wedlock, children being born out of wedlock, that is on their mother and their father. That's why those children have to come to the Most High. They have to be let known, hey, this is not your fault. This is not anything you had control over. See, the real reason behind the commandment that the Most High gave to begin with, that a bastard shall not enter into the congregation, is so that the people wouldn't do it. Because you should be concerned about where your children are, what's going to happen to your children. And if you had an illegitimate child, because you were being, except for if it was, you know, you were forced. This could never apply to a man as far as, you know, the sex act, but a woman could be forced. She could be out in that field. She got raped and she got pregnant. And so she wasn't guilty and the child wouldn't be guilty. But if this was something where this was, you know, she was a participant and they didn't carry out the law, what was required by the law, and this baby was born illegitimately, then the Most High said they weren't supposed to enter in because it's supposed to disgrace the parents. And so you wouldn't want your child being disgraced, and you wouldn't want to be disgraced. So this was to keep you from doing this. But here he says, the father shall not be put to death for the children, and the children shall not be put to death for the fathers or the mothers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor for the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. Don't pervert the judgment of a stranger. In other words, don't be, you know, giving unrighteous judgment because they're not one of us. They're not of our people. They are visiting. Also, we're going to take advantage of you. You know how you can go into a strange land? Go to Mexico. See if they don't try to take you for all the money they can if you break the law. All kind of, you know, bribes and the corruption and stuff like that. You did a little small breaking of the law and it might cost you your life. Because it's just that dangerous. But, you know, if you got the money and you can pay the right people, they might take you for everything that you are able to pay. They're going to do what? Pervert judgment. Is nor the fatherless, because these are nobody to speak up for them. You know, typically, if something really goes wrong, the father's supposed to be able to go there and handle that business, especially if it's somebody trying to take advantage of his children. You know, and that's if they even bring it to him, or even to the mother. He says, but those that don't have a father. And in this case, these are not bastards. These are not women that had children without a father, without a husband. This man, the father's died. That's who he calls fatherless. The husband is dead. They're born out of wedlock. He don't say fatherless. He calls them another name, a bastard. Nor take a widow's raiment. A widow only has herself to count on. He said, don't take her clothing from her as a pledge or to do something right for her. It's all she's got. That and what, you know, what's in her house is a little bit more, you know, today. It will go even deeper because a lot of the women, you know, they have their own place, their own transportation, and still they're alone. And, you know, a lot of businesses will take advantage of a single woman, widow or not, especially like behind her car or whatever, or doing work around the house. Because they know, for the most part, she may not know how to do it. She don't know how much it costs, but it needs to be done. And so they'll take advantage, take the car in to get it worked on. They come out with more problems than when you took it in because they know you don't know. You don't know if they haven't changed the water pump that there's also some things that while they got all this stuff apart, they might as well go ahead and change it. Because if they don't change it then, and it, these things are known to wear out, that 2 months later you're back in there and they say, oh, we need to go back in again because now this part has gone bad. But had they changed it while they had it open, you'd have paid for that labor only once. So you had to pay for the part. Or you went in and now you got a leak in your system that wasn't there before. And typically 9 times out of 10, they cause the leak. But they just want to get some more money from you. Just all kind of things that they do when they know that it's a single woman. Much less a widow. But thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in Egypt, and Yah thy Elohim redeemed thee from there. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger. So the Most High says, you know, I'll probably cause you to forget that sheaf in the field. You left the field, leave it there. Leave it there for the stranger and for the poor, for the fatherless and for the widow, that they eat from it. That's how I'm supplying them. That Yah thy Elohim may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. So you were cutting down the corn, you bundling it up, you done bundled everything up, and then you left a sheet. You left a bundle. So I said, don't turn around and go get it. He caused you to leave. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger and for the fatherless and for the widow. In other words, the Most High has always told them, don't take everything out of the field. Don't just reap until everything is naked. And there's, you know, you got everything you could. Because today, you know, they harvest something. They're trying to harvest everything. They're looking for every bit of profit they can get. So leave some for the poor, for the fatherless, for the homeless, for the widow, the stranger. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterwards. In other words, you gone through and you harvest it, don't go back and look for anything you missed. It shall be for the stranger and for the fatherless and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. The Most High always wants us to remember where we came from. And we should remember, you know, we don't have any remembrance. We didn't directly live through slavery. But we have been oppressed enough in this land to know that there's different standards. And some of the times, you know, when you don't know how well other people have it, people of other nations, and you only know what your people have and what you go through, then you might not know. You might think that because you got a little bit more than your brother or sister, you might think that you are blessed. And indeed, you may very well be blessed. But then, at the same time, you have to understand that you're not as blessed as somebody else from another nation in the same country. Because they're not going to pay you what they pay them. And so you may be doing good as concerning your own people. But the Most High says, I want you to remember these things. And don't do them, don't do the stranger the way you've been done. Don't mistreat somebody. Remember, you know, we should have, we don't listen to our elders, you know, and most of those people are dead now, but we should have family stories that were passed down that we should be passing on to our children. Most of the time they don't want to hear it. But that was in your day. Yeah, but this, I'm telling you this not because you're going to suffer this now. I'm telling you this because you have, there's an expected behavior from you, from the Most High, that you remember these things, that you don't ever become so puffed up that you might find yourself back in this situation again as a punishment from him because you didn't remember where you came from and what you went through. So in this chapter, the Most High talks about divorce and marriage. And he says that in these days, if a husband found any uncleanliness in his wife, he gave her a bill of divorce, and she was free when she had the bill of divorce to go out and remarry. That was up under the law. Okay, if she was a servant, it was not so. If she wasn't free, if she was a bond servant, it was not so. She could not go out. But this is a free woman. She's not a servant. She's not in bondage. She's in a marriage. She's not this man's slave. When he married her, she didn't become his slave. Most High says she's a free woman. You married her. You found some uncleanliness in her. You didn't want to keep her as your wife. Then give her a bill of divorcement. And she's able to remarry. But if she was a servant, or she was sold into this, she could not ever go out. Because typically, what was going to happen, didn't say it always happened, but typically, if she was a servant, she was going to get used sexually some kind of way. And that was just the nature of it. And if she was supposed to become that man's wife, or if it was his son, his son's wife, but she was not to go out. But if she was free, she's married, he puts her away under this covenant, she was free to remarry. What she wasn't free to do was to go back to her first husband. She get divorced from the first one or he died, she couldn't go back. She get divorced or the second one died, she couldn't go back to the first. And I know men that are trying to do that today because this didn't change. Most I says don't even put her away for any reason except for fornication. And by the law, if she was caught in that situation, she's having sex outside the marriage, then the law required for her death. The law required her death. So that's why Messiah said, if it was for any reason other than fornication, because the law called for her death if she was caught cheating. So you want to put her away for any reason but that? He says, uh-uh. That's the only reason that you could divorce her. Messiah changed that. Messiah said it was never intended to be so. And so he gave, you know, the stipulations. This is what it is up under the new covenant. This is what the intent was. This is what's going to be enforced. Deuteronomy chapter 25. And if there be a controversy between men, and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. Who's condoning this? The Most High is. You do something that is against the law, and the law didn't call for death, and the judges meter out a certain amount of stripes and not death, then the judge was to cause that man to lie down and be beaten. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed. Least if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. In other words, you've seen the picture on the internet where they whipped this brother with a whip and his back was all scarred up. I mean, it just looked like a giant scar. And when people saw him, if you saw somebody like that today, they might seem vile. Despicable. He says, don't do that. You beat him above 40 lashes, he might seem vile to you, disfigured. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. In other words, if that oxen is doing a job for you, in this case, treading out the corn, let him eat. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child. Now this is one right here. This will be a hard one, especially if we went back to these right here, because I don't believe that this law was done away with. Just like I don't believe, if you got a brother, and he sleeps with your wife, and you don't know it. The Most High says that if they do that, if you got a brother or a sister that do that, that they would remain childless. They wouldn't be able to have children of their own. And I really think that, my brother up under me, I think he did that with my first wife. And she remained childless, and he remained childless. Now, I couldn't prove it. He claimed some things, and I was like, okay, well, I pray that didn't happen, but if it did, then that might explain why you and your wife aren't having any children. And I pray that was never true, but this is what the Most High said, if that happens. But he's saying here, if it was an honorable marriage and your brother died, and he has no children, then your brother was supposed to take your wife after you died and bring up children in your name with her. Now, even a lot of women today ain't hearing that. They ain't trying to hear that. But this is the law. And I don't find anywhere in under the new covenant that this was changed. I can take you to where he changed the laws about divorce in the new covenant. I can't find this where he changed this in the new covenant. And so people today would think that this is strange. Oh, wait a minute, that's perverted. You sleeping with your brother's wife after he's dead? But the Most High said to bring up seed in his name. So let's read this. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. This is the commandment of the Most High. The wife will not marry without, outside, unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. So, does it say if he don't have a wife? So here's a situation where a man could end up with two wives. And in this case, one of them was his former brother's wife. He got the wife that he married, and his brother dies, and now he's got this wife. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate of the unto the elders, and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto the man that will not build up his brother's house. This man was to be dishonored from that point on, to be a disgrace, to be known that he would not do this. And who's commanded to bring him to the elders? She is. You know that we are way away from this today. And you know that most of us ain't trying to hear this. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that has his shoe loosed. This is a dishonor. This is a disgrace. When men strive together one with another. Now, this is one where, you know, the women need to heed this. When men strive together one with another, and the wife of the one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and puts forth her hand to take him by the secrets. You know what the secrets he's talking about. Then thou shalt cut off her hand. Thine eyes shall not pity her. Now she's coming to help her husband. He's fighting with another man. And the Most High says, if she grabbed that man by his private, then you would have cut off her hand. That's how serious this is. Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Not that you don't have different weights because of different weights, but you don't perpetrate that a one, you know, you got a 3/4 pound weight and you're saying it's a pound. And so when you charging people, you charging them a pound for 3/4 of a weight, 3/4 of a pound. They're getting less and you charging them more. That's what he's saying. Have just weight. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. Again, not that you don't have different measurements for things, but you're not going to be using different measures for different people. I'll charge you for a pound, I'm going to charge you 40 cents. And for this person, I'm going to charge them 30 cents. But thou shalt have perfect and just weight. A perfect and a just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee. Don't be, you know, like I say, don't be trying to cheat people. That's what he's always saying, is don't try to cheat people. Be honest with them. Give them, you know, if you charge them for a pound, give them a pound of whatever you're charging them for. And don't be having, you know, a different price for, especially among your brethren, for different people. Oh, you my buddy, I charge you this. Especially that person come back and find out, hey, you charging me more than you charging everybody else. Why is that? Verse 16, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto Yah thy Elohim. So if you are cheating people, you're an abomination unto Yah. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint and weary, and feared not Elohim. He said, don't forget what this man did. Amalek, this is the very man that he sent Saul to. He said, kill everybody, the Amalekites. Kill everybody, man, woman, child, goat, pig, dog. Everything, sheep, cattle, kill everything. I don't want anything of these people to live, survive. Their children, nothing. Why? Because they fed upon the people who were weak, who couldn't keep up, who were in the behind everyone. They sneak up on them and steal them. What I mean by steal them, kill them and take their goods. Prey upon them. He says, those that were feeble and behind thee, when thou was faint and weary, and they didn't fear the Most High, what he would do. The Most High said he wasn't going to forget this. So when they became a nation and they had their first king, he sent Saul and said, all right, remember that I told you to remember what the Amalekites did. Now I want you to go and kill them all. Every one of them. Therefore, it shall be when Yah thy Elohim giveth thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Now, they forgot it, but the Most High didn't forget it. He didn't forget it. And he made sure that he told Saul, I got a job for you. Remember what the Amalekites did? Go kill everybody. He says, everything. And when he came, you know, when Samuel came, And heard the sheep. He says, what's this bleeding I hear? The sheep that, you know, the noise that the sheep make. Weren't you not told to kill everything and everyone? He killed everything, kept the sheep and the cattle. Said, the people made me do it so we could sacrifice them to Yah. God's like, I don't want them. And then he kept the king alive so he can parade him around like a trophy. And the Most High said, I didn't tell you to do that either. I told you to kill them all. Because of what they did. He says, you shall not forget it. The Most High didn't forget. So, he said, don't have diverse weights. If two brothers, three brothers are dwelling together, brothers are dwelling together, and one be married, or they both are married, the one that's married die, don't have no children, His brother was to go in unto his wife. And she was commanded she could not marry a stranger. And in this case, a stranger was somebody outside that immediate family. And his brother was to go in unto his wife and to bring up seed to his brother, that his brother's name be not forgotten in Israel. And the wife was to make sure of this. She's the one that, if he don't do it, was supposed to take him to the elders. She's the one that was, if he didn't do it, was supposed to come up to him and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face. And say he refuses to do the duty of a brother. Now, again, I say, today, how many women would actually do this? Because we don't live by his statutes, his laws, his commandments. So don't have unjust weight. If a man is convicted of something that is not worthy of death, and the judges say, hey, this is our judgment. The Most High hasn't judged on this thing, and we say that that's worth 20 lashes. Then the judge shall cause the guilty, the wicked one, to lay down and be whipped. So he gives us some laws here. Whatever judgment the judges come up with, that's what we are to abide by. But we can't overturn the judgments of the Most High. So those were already standards. If this happens, this is your judgment. Now everything else, because these are the most serious things to the Most High. But people, you know, somebody steals something. Most High said that you were supposed to repay it. And usually either twice or five times if you got caught. But if you got caught and you brought before the judges and the judges said you're to repay five times plus be whipped, then that's what happened. What time we got? 7:27. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Again, I say there are some judgments of the Most High, some statutes, some laws, and some commandments that people weren't trying to hear it back then. He said, hey, if the brother don't agree, don't want to do it, then you were to disgrace him. And he was to be known that he didn't take care of this business. But I would suspect today, even a lot of women wouldn't demand it. It's strange to us. Deuteronomy chapter 26. And it shall be when thou art come into the land, which Yahweh Elohim giveth thee, for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwell therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that Yahweh Elohim giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto Yahweh Elohim, that I am come into the country which Yah swear unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand, and set it down before the altar of Yahweh Elohim. And thou shalt speak and say before Yahweh Elohim, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a great nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptian evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto Yah our Elohim of our fathers, Yah heard our voice, and looked on our affliction and on our labor and on our oppression. And Yah brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with a great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he has brought us into this place and has given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Yah, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before Yah thy Elohim and worship before Yah thy Elohim. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which Yah thy Elohim has given unto thee. And unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. And when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and given it unto the Levite and the stranger, the fatherless and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then shalt thou say unto Yah thy Elohim, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house. Now see, this is where a lot of people don't understand that they're supposed to make a report of these things, what they have done every third year. And thou shalt say before Yah thy Elohim, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. And I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof of any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened or listened to the voice of Yah my Elohim and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. So this is every third year this is supposed to be done. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us, as thou sawest, swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day Yah thy Elohim has commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. This is another statute that we are supposed to keep. And judgment. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. We're supposed to profess that we have kept the tithe, that we have done what Yah has commanded us. And if you can't confess it, then the law required that you actually were to be shunned, that you were not to be eaten with. You're not to eat with because you have stolen from the Most High. That's why it says, will a man rob God? Will a man rob Elohim? Have you robbed me in tithes and offerings? You're supposed to report this publicly. Thou hast avouched, Yah, this day to be thy Elohim and to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, to hearken unto his voice. And Yah has avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he has promised thee, and thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which he has made thee in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto Yah, as he has spoken. So we are to profess that we have kept his commandments, that we have done with his holy things that he has said to do with them, that we have fed the father, the widowless, and the homeless. Every 3 years, the tithe of the third year, and we were to come to have a party with him. And as a place he says, hey, and if the way be too far for this tithe, go and sell. And get money, then come and then buy whatever your heart's desire. But then you're supposed to profess that you have done these things, that you have kept his commandments, that you have obeyed his voice. And people say, well, that ought to be private. No, the Most High said we're to confess it. Pray we can hear this. There's a lot of people that don't tithe. They don't want nobody to know they don't tithe. They don't want nobody to know that they're not doing what the Most High said to them, for them to do. But But they're supposed to give a report that they have kept his commandments. He commands that when you, the first fruit, you bring it to him and you dedicate it to him. And we should, you know, I think when we get on this land, I don't think I know, the first fruits that we have, that we are able to have, we're gonna dedicate them to the Most High. And we're going to profess that he has brought us into that land. And that we are keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments. And that we are walking in his ways. It's a must. It's a must. We have to acknowledge him in all things. We have to acknowledge him the way that he says to do it. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over the Jordan unto the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. This is going to be like a memorial. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law. When they pass over the Jordan, you to make up what? Stack up these stones and plaster them and then write on them all the words of this law. When thou art passed over, that thou mayest go into the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as Yah thy Elohim of thy father has promised thee. Therefore it shall be when you have gone over the Jordan, that they shall set up these stones which I command thee this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto Yah thy Elohim, an altar of stones. And thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. And thou shalt build the altar of Yah thy Elohim of whole stones. And thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto Yah thy Elohim. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and rejoice before Yah thy Elohim. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priest of the Levites shall speak unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of Yah thy Elohim. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of Yah thy Elohim and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When you are come over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal, these are the tribes, to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto Yah, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and put it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Wait a minute, I missed something. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife, because he uncovered his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that taketh a reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that confirms not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. So, all the people, he says, these tribes shall go to Mount Ebal to bless, and these tribes shall go to Mount Gerizim to curse. Not for those tribes to be cursed, but they shall pronounce the curse. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yah thy Elohim, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that Yah thy Elohim will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now this is, you know, the nations read this. This is what they don't want. Now, the ones in verse 20, in chapter 27, I want us to go back to this for a minute. And I want us to read these, verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 12 and 13. Because the tribes are split up and they're given, you know, a task to do. These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when they are come over the Jordan: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. So the first things that are spoken are what? The curses. And these, the tribe of Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali, they are pronouncing and saying amen to the curses. If anybody do this, all the people are agreeing that these are the curses, that if anybody do these things. Now, they're going to pronounce the blessings, okay? And this will be the other tribes, Judah, Issachar, Reuben, Dan. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 28 and 2. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yah thy Elohim, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. What time we got? Now we're going to do this one. We're going to do this one next time, because this is a long chapter, and this are the blessings and the curses that if we don't obey, if we are disobedient. So we will do this on next time. We will stop here for this evening. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, Father. Father, we hear your voice. We hear your judgments. We hear your commandments. We hear your statutes. We hear your ordinances. And all that you have said, we will do and we will obey. Father, as they pertain to us in the new covenant, as you have modified it, Father, so shall we live and abide in your commandments, in your statutes, in your judgments, in your ordinances. Father, we remove ourselves out of the way. And all that you have said, Father, we will do. We shall not be ashamed. We shall not be puffed up and proud. But we will obey your voice. Father, as we finish up, as you are about to send your people over into the promised land, and as you review your statutes and your laws and your commandments that you are giving unto them, that you're going to hold them to, all that you pass over into the new covenant, the new contract, Father, we embrace. We embrace with joy and with newness of heart and with renewed commitment to you, O Father. Let your word be true and every man a liar. Be with us as we go about to be your obedient children. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Tomorrow for spiritual wellness, we will meet and we will be talking about the land and the crops and what the Most High has shown me. I need to stay up tonight and actually get this video converted and load it, but I also need to go and I need to get some. Don't think that I'm going to use compost tea as the only media, the only medium to feed the plant. I think compost tea, the more I research it and the more, you know, I look at, it can be used, but that's not the intent of what compost tea was really designed for. It's designed to put not the minerals back in the ground, but the microbes back in the ground, and you don't really need them or use them in hydroponics. So can it be used? Yes, but it's not the best thing to do as I'm looking at this. So I need to go and I've ordered the minerals that we need for the hydroponic system, but it's not going to be here for a few days. So I want to go buy a smaller bag of these minerals from Lowe's because I want to transplant the strawberries. I already transplanted the tomatoes, but I want to put the strawberries in the hydroponics. I transplanted the tomatoes. I could have put them in the hydroponics as well, but I put them in the dirt because I want to see that I know that tomatoes grew in the dirt before, and I want to see if the actual minerals, you know, the microorganisms from the compost tea get reestablished in the ground. And so that's my test with that. And then to test the hydroponic system, strawberries can be grown hydroponically. They take the same type of food that tomatoes take as far as a solution goes. So I'm going to buy the components to make the solution, you know, the NPK, which is the base system, and then the phosphorus and the calcium nitrate. Three elements that have to go in their Epsom salt and make the solution. And then before it gets too cold, you know, the plants may be shutting down. But I want to see if I can force them to do something through the fertilizer, through this solution, you know, one is to make them grow. So I'll see if I can make them grow real quick with the heat that we still have remaining. And then see if I can make them flower and produce a strawberry by just feeding them the ingredients that causes them to do this. And if they survive it, fine. If they don't, you know, it's a learning experience. And so, you know, just so that I can see the effect. So you'll learn along with me. But I'm going to, you know, I need to upload the videos and the stuff that I've already done. And so that we can have it for tomorrow. I'll try to put it out there tonight. Been kind of lax in that area. But I'll do it tonight. It's after the Shabbat. And so we can have it available for tomorrow. So I pray that you be there. You know, just that's a general conversation. Talk about, you know, and I can show, you know, what I've done, show the hydroponic system, you know, talk about the problems that I've had. I'm going to start building the ones for inside. I ordered some different tanks, the ones that I had previously ordered, that I'm using outside. I'm going to actually rededicate these to like dry storage, because I ordered like 50-pound bags of, no, I don't think it was 50, I think it was 25-pound bags of seed, different seeds. And so I wanted to use it for storage, because once I start this, as I said, I want to make sure and see if I can make it a viable business. So the first crops, you know, they're test crops, but, you know, I already know which plants that are popular and are supposed to be good for making this a business. And so we want to have everything in place, we can grow a couple of crops, and then start going for true production and trying to, you know, contact these different companies and go around and let it be known that this is what we're doing, farmers markets and things like that. The farmers markets are not just on the weekend, so we try to hit them during the week. Because on Shabbat, Friday night, Saturday, no. That's just a no-go. But, you know, every other day of the week, for the farmers markets, we can be hitting it. And then I thought about even creating some of these that I could send to you. You know, there won't be anything big, but it would allow you to do it in your own home. And just to practice with it. And the only thing you would have to probably replace would be seed, you know, from your local store. But you could grow whatever inside your house. But I'm looking at, you know, a Tupperware solution that is not real expensive, but it will allow you to do it for those who want to. And if you've already started, then you just let me know what you started. And, you know, we can discuss these things and what we've done and what experience or, you know, what type of experience we're having. What did we find difficult? What was hard to understand? So forth and so on. So that's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And I pray that, you know, like I said, we'll be there. That being said, may the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until in the morning, shalom, family. Peace and blessings. Thank you.
the women. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? Never.